Today on Real Radio.
Was there a time in your life when you were flourishing with God? But since that time, you've either read something or you heard something or someone has come to you and your joy's gone. My friend, you've been robbed.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Truth About Christianity, continues in his series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 2 today, verses 11 through 19. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through his gospel of grace. After the Apostle Paul's conversion to Christianity, he became the greatest opponent of legalism. He taught us to live in the freedom that only Christ can give, and not by the Old Testament law of Moses. So, with love as our motivator, we're free to live by faith in Christ, knowing that the law cannot save us or set us free from the power of sin. Freedom is mankind's most sought-after goal, but the freedom that man seeks can never happen without Christ. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the truth about Christianity gives us the opportunity to correct those bound by the words of the law. For we're justified through God's grace by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Trusting in our good works will not save us. And now, continuing his lesson called The Truth About Christianity, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The second point in verses 14 to 16 is this, that the truth about Christianity is that it gives us opportunity to correct. Isn't that great? Gives us opportunity to correct. Oh, not that we would be the ones walking around wagging the finger, but we would be the ones that God instructs us to get on the right course again. Listen to the heart of Paul. For no doubt what he's speaking is the heart of God. In verse 14, it says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel." Isn't that neat? We would say today, when someone's really tight with Jesus, what do we say? He's right on. Paul would say today, when I discerned, when I figured out, when I saw that they were not right on, this is what I did. He said, I said to Peter in front of everyone, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And I wonder how many Christians are like that today. Was there a time in your life when you were flourishing with God? Your relationship with him was so free. But since that time, you've either read something or you heard something or someone has come to you and you're quenched now. You're burdened. In fact, you have this heavy load and you feel like you just can't live up to God's expectations and your joy's gone. My friend, you've been robbed. There's a great reaction that Paul gives, and there's a response that Paul gives. In verses 15 and 16, it says here, we who are Jews by nature, he's talking to Peter and the Jews, we're Jews. We were born Jews. We were circumcised on the eighth day. We grew up with the law. We're Jews. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not the sinners of the Gentiles. That's not, Paul's not being mean. He's just saying, we didn't grow up in ignorance. Gentiles grew up in ignorance, not knowing God. We grew up knowing God. They didn't know how to find God. We knew how to find God. And basically what he's saying is once we found God, we realized that the law that we claimed to try to fulfill was in fact a law that was just to drive us to Jesus to ask for forgiveness because the law can't save us. Why in our Judaism would we want anybody else to come to Judaism when it couldn't save us? Look what he says in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus. This is Paul speaking to Peter. That we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. The Bible teaches us that the law was nothing but a perfect standard of what God would accept into heaven. That's why Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Because no man can. So watch this. I love it. What does it mean? It means this. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling, I like the word buyback or ransoming out, the world to himself, not imputing or counting or any more tallying up their trespasses to them anymore. God was winning the world back to himself through Jesus Christ. And from or since the cross, God no longer keeps a record of your wrong. There's more. Romans 8, 28 to 31. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Those whom he called, these he also justified. And those he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's from the lips of Paul. Now you understand where the guy's coming from. He comes up to Peter. He doesn't care if Peter's going to be the first pope or not. He could care less. He doesn't care if the Judaizers are there. Paul is standing right on the truth of God. And he says, hey, I got to talk to you guys about something. There's an error going on here. And Paul just lets it out. You want to know why? Paul saw Jesus Christ and he didn't care about seeing anybody else. We mentioned that last time. It's very important to realize that Paul's standing on truth. My friend, you're standing on truth. You're going to do just fine. Remember when Jesus stood on truth, when he overturned the table? He was angry, says the Bible. And he overturned all of their money-changing tables and all of the tables of the animal sacrifices. He was angry, but he was holy the whole time. He never sinned. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You know, there's an anger of man that is evil, dangerous. And then there's an anger of God that is holy, righteous anger that stands for truth. But it's always in love. Isn't it amazing that you can be filled with the Spirit of God and be angry about something and yet correct that very thing with the love of God working through you? Isn't that great? Oh, isn't that our goal? Boy, it sure is our goal as parents, huh? To be able to instruct our kids and sometimes even be angry against evil. And yet at the same time, being able to convey to them that in our righteous anger, we love them immensely. And this is the truth. And this will be what you do. Because it's truth. But if you begin to embrace the silliness of this world that says, well, truth is relative. I tell you, any of you who are in college right now, I pray for you. I pray for you. And may God send born-again, spirit-filled professors to class. Because by and large, don't write me a letter. By and large, so many are godless and atheistic. And they might even claim to be religious, but they're so bound in humanistic thinking. And they'll say things like this. If you're a Christian, those of you who are in school, and you say, I believe in absolute truth, you're going to get an F. That teacher's going to fail you because he can't stand you for saying that. The moment you begin to stand up and say, I believe in absolute truth, they immediately are going to think that you are self-righteous, and the next thing, that you are not tolerant. And yet, because of their ignorance, they don't even understand what the word tolerant means. The word tolerant means you can take a stand that is exactly opposite of my view and my stand, and I will allow you to promote your view. And if you're tolerant, you will allow me to promote my view. And we can even stand on the same platform because we're tolerant and allow each view to be confessed publicly. That's the old English King James understanding, Noah Webster, 1828 definition of tolerance. But what is today? Tolerance today is you have to receive what I believe in and you can't say anything against it. No, that's called coercion. Truth does not change and it is not wavering. God's truth is true. So, well, it's irrelevant. Really, how would you like to have a guy doing surgery on you who went through school in the echelons of higher education and he is a surgeon? But you know what? He believes in relative truth. And so they wheel your little sleeping body in before him and he pulls up his knife and he's going, And everybody's ready. So, doctor, what are we doing today? Well, we're going to remove his kidney. But I think I'm going to go through his throat. Because that's what I want to do today. That would feel good to me. What feels good is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to break from the rule. I'm going to break from science, which is an absolute. And I'm going to do it my way. That would be a horrible mess, wouldn't it? A scientist can say, we recognize that there's the power of gravity in effect. Well, that's relative. That's relative to you. What do you think? Well, why don't you go up on the roof and see if it's relative to you? I want you to jump off and see what happens. You will go down. You will not go up. There are laws that will not change because God, our God, is a God of absolute truth. And that's very important to understand. Thirdly, we'll be done, is that about the truth of Christianity is that it stands and defends truth. Justification is by Christ Jesus alone. Verses 17 and 18. Paul says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found to be sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. He's simply saying what we've been saying so far in the study. You can't have it two ways. You're either justified by faith in God or by keeping the law. But let's read the fine print. You can't be justified by keeping the law. It cannot happen. This word justified that appears in these verses here are key. The word justified means to render or to show, to regard, to declare, listen, innocent. It means to present someone free and righteous. Here's the great thing. God has to do the decree of this. You can't. I cannot do it. I cannot look at you and say, you're righteous. I can't do it. I can say, because the Bible says you're righteous, but I don't have the power to righteousize you. I don't have that power. Only God has that power. Watch this. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, God righteousizes you, declares you righteous. It's by God. It's given by God. And by the way, throughout Old and New Testament, it's never undone by God. It's a declaration that goes out for eternity. You say, Jack, are you sure? Oh, I'm sure. Here's a question that I've gotten, and maybe you have too. What if finally I get into heaven, and 1,000 million years later, I sin in heaven? Because angels can sin and be kicked out of heaven, you know? What if I do that? Are you ready for the answer? It's glorious. He removes from us the sin nature completely. We will not be in heaven going, oh man, I almost blew it. That angel stepped on my foot. Oh, it hurt. That's not going to happen. He's going to remove from you the sin nature. Think about it. The rotten, horrible, disgusting, selfish, stinking part of who I am. The day I die or I get raptured, that's going to be left behind. I'll be freed from my temper. I still have a temper. But you know what? I tell you, in the last 25 years of being saved, my temper is nothing like it used to be. I used to go nuts before I met Jesus. And I'm not the same person. But you know what? The person that I still am, I can't stand him. You know what? I mean, you know that? I mean, ask my wife and my kids. It's like, oh, man, we can't wait for him to get raptured. You know? But isn't it true about us? I mean, isn't it great to think, man, that's my hope. Leave this carnal nature behind. No, you won't have that carnal nature in heaven. You won't be tiptoeing around for fear you might goof it up. You're going to be, listen, you're going to be as perfect, the Bible says, as Christ is perfect. Oh, man. We are now after the new Adam, the Bible says. Christ. Not the old Adam. The old Adam gets us in trouble. The new Adam is born after righteousness and desires peace and justice and goodness and the fruit of the Spirit. No, the truth about Christianity is that it stands for truth. And in verse 19, we'll end with this. Paul says, for I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. What does that mean? Wow. I'm going to give you some verses. Jot them down. They are something. Number one, Romans 7, verses 7 to 10. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would have not known that covetousness is a sin unless it says, thou shalt not covet. But sin, listen carefully, everybody, but sin, taking advantage of me through the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment of the law came to me, sin reared itself up and I died. And the commandment which I thought would bring life, I found it to only bring death. Romans 3, 20 to 22. Romans 3, 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even this, that the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus is to all and upon all who believe. Wow. Is that liberating? Listen. When he says, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God, it's like this. I may be walking across the desert, hot, blazing. Before me is a cart full of water. How'd that get here? I don't really care how it got here. I need the water. I look around. Nobody's there. There's no sign. There's nothing. I take a drink. I drink. In fact, it even has a couple of oranges on there. I grab the oranges. I eat them. And I'm on my way. And what will I do? I will give God thanks for that wonderful blessing. Why? I'm free. Are you with me? Oh, I remember growing up, jumping over a fence into this great field. I was so small. The field was so huge. I didn't know on the other side of the field there was a sign that said no trespassing. My friends and I, we'd go on that field and eat grapes all day till we get sick. Well, it wasn't until months later that we had heard that the guy was complaining about some kids eating his grapes. We were so free until we found out that it was posted. I was free until I found out it was posted. God posts the Ten Commandments to show that all mankind is guilty and needs him. You know why people are fighting against the Ten Commandments everywhere? It's because man will not confess he's guilty. We can't have the Ten Commandments. It's religious. And I love what that one guy did down south. He said, look, we're going to post it anyway because it's a historical document. Ooh, that's a good thing. Why is he doing it? So that people will look at it and call out to God for forgiveness. Do you understand the freedom? Do you understand that the law can point you to freedom absolutes? So Paul says this, man, I was doing fine once. I got a drink of the water, grabbed a couple of oranges, and went on my way. And I had a great time, and I praised God for it. Then I went back on the same track and came up to the cart, and this time there's a sign saying, don't drink the water and don't pick any oranges. He was just as thirsty. He was just as hungry. But you know what? Listen, we can put it into our modern day practice. We can wait until the wind blows the sign down. Oh, look, the sign fell down. You can take the water and you can lie to yourself and you can drink it. And in fact, you can have 10 oranges. And the whole way you're going guilty. And you know what? Nobody may know it, but you know it. And God made you that way. God made me that way. Some of you are bearing the load of guilt. And though nobody saw you do it, you knew it was wrong because he wrote the law in your heart. The sign was in your heart. It didn't matter if it was posted alongside the freeway or not. He told you on the inside, don't do that. And you did it. And for your life, you've been drinking, snorting coke, or trying to be some kind of guy to put it all away, you know? And the truth of the matter is, God is saying, it's you. Listen, it's you. You're the one. No, it's my mom. No, it's you. It's my parents. No, it's you. Listen, he's such a great surgeon. It's you. No, it's the government. No, it's you. And here's the deal. He's going to say to you, I want you to fess up to me now. I want you to tell me what you and I already know. Just say it. And you talk to God. That's why when people make that decision to receive Christ, they just go leaping down the road. They feel like a feather. You know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. When I received Jesus and my sin was lifted, it doesn't mean I was sinless, but God positioned me in Jesus. I'm justified. God looks at me and he says, there's justified Jack. You might say, well, I don't see you that way. Hello? Aren't I been making the point here? I don't care what you think. He's the one. He calls me righteous. I'm not going to argue with him. He says, you're justified. You trust my son and what he did on the cross. I sure do. You're justified. He didn't say you're going to be justified. He said you're justified. Enjoy Jesus Christ. Walk with him in love. He has over and over and over again communicated us in his word that our relationship with him is a relationship of love. And have you ever seen somebody in love bummed out? No, it's the exact opposite. Hey, your car's on fire. It's all right. Hey, your house just fell down. That's okay. In love. So you go out today. You leave this place today in love with God because he first loved you. And you're justified. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, then my friend, you are lost and hellbound. And you're the one doing it to yourself. Don't blame him. Boy, you can't do that. He died on the cross for you. And he's saying, you come to me. You come to me. And you'll find out too, when the moment you trust him, that he has stamped, declared, acknowledged you, decreed that you are justified.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Truth About Christianity. Thanks for listening today, and our hope is that you live in the freedom that only Christ can give, and not in the bondage of a works-based faith. The Truth About Christianity is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified by faith and not by works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, when you get a chance, go over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our website, of course, and there's a very special tab there. It's the Know God tab. Know God. You know, if there's somebody in your life that you want to kind of explain your relationship with the Lord to, and you don't have the words, you don't have exactly what you want to say, tell that person to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, just get your phone out, get your tablet out, and go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Know God tab. It's a great resource. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Here's something kind of cool goes along with the end of one year into the next. You know, a lot of us here at the church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, love to go through the Bible in one year together. So why don't you join us reading the New King James Version of the one-year Bible all together? This is it's probably the 15th or 20th year that we've done this together. We'd love for you to join us. And so this month's book of the month is the New King James Version of the one-year Bible. You can pick up your copy and join us in this quest at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and read along with us this year in the New King James Version of the Bible. Get yours today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It is the book of the month. We hope you'll join us. Hey, don't forget that if you need to access most anything that is Real Radio, you can do that through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Pick up yours at your app store today. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.